My NFL Power 12 rankings coming up in just a minute. Then Nate Davis of USA Today Sports to talk a little NFL. Ollie Cosell, second half of the hour. We'll talk Pelicans. But let's go to the phone line, squeeze in a call from Joe in Mandeville first. Joe, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm thinking that the problem with the ineffective scoring is probably because of the defenses. You got to remember, when y'all are running up the score for the past 10 games, you got to look at the defenses. They weren't that good. Okay, with the exception of Baltimore, and you won that game on a doinker. So,
do you think the defenses that the Saints haven't played aren't good?
No.
So you think the Vikings aren't good? You think the Cowboys aren't good? You think the Ravens aren't good?
I'm just saying they didn't win that game against Dallas. I mean, when we were going into that 2 weeks ago, oh, they'll score. They'll be up two scores by halftime, and then we can coast.
Well, who said that? I didn't say that. In fact, I was the one on this program, Joe. I'm the one who said that Dallas was the toughest game on their schedule remaining, and I could see them losing it. I mean, I said that on my program all week.
Yeah, Christian said it was 40-17, and Bobby hasn't let go of it yet.
Well, Bobby, you know how much he hates the Cowboys. And first of all, Christian doesn't want my words in his mouth, and I certainly don't want Christian words in my mouth. So we got a little different thoughts on this.
Yeah, real quick. I know about Seattle, but they do have to play Dallas in Dallas.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even though they beat Dallas in Seattle. So you got to keep in mind, you've got Seattle, Dallas, and Chicago you're going to be facing, okay, at home in the Superdome.
There'll only be two games. Saints have assured themselves the first round bye. It's just whether they're going to be the one or the two seed at this point.
No, one of the three. Don't you think one of the three could possibly be playing Dallas? I mean, the Saints. One of those three is going to play, don't
you? Oh, yeah.
You think?
You're saying one of those three? Yeah. I actually expect one of those three teams to be playing the Saints. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to be a runaway. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot tougher than you think.
Oh, yeah. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you there. In fact, Joe, I maintain what I said 2 weeks ago on the program. I think it's Dallas and Chicago that worry me the most in the NFC, more than the Los Angeles Rams. Lesser extent, Seattle, because I think they got some problems on their back end against pass defense. They think they can be exposed, especially here on the turf. I'm not too worried about Seattle in a playoff spot yet, although they're one of the stories in the NFL. In fact, let's fire up the music here, and we'll go over our NFL Power 12 rankings for Week 15. Final 3 weeks of the NFL season upon us, which means the return of these bruising divisional matchups, some interconference intrigued, littered in incredible battles in the wild card races in both the AFC and the NFC. The Dolphins, Ravens, Colts, Titans, all 7-6 and tied for the final spot in the AFC. Vikings at 6-6-1. They have a half game lead over Philly, Washington, Carolina, and they're one game up on the Packers, who amazingly aren't out of this thing yet. Let's try to sort it all out here. Here's my NFL Power 12 rankings again. These are my playoff predictions, the 12 teams I see making the playoffs right now, and I sort them 1 through 12, and these are online at WWL.com. At 1 in my list, back to number 1, the New Orleans Saints. Not always pretty in the NFL. That's kind of been the theme of my show here this week. Look at what happened to the Rams, Pats, and Steelers this past week. Saints avoided the same fate by outscoring the Bucs 25-0. In the second half. And also, we know the Saints defense have morphed into one of the better units in the National Football League. I've got them at 1. Number 2, the Kansas City Chiefs, up a spot from number 3. Chiefs were minutes away. Think about this. They were minutes away from falling out of the top overall seed in the conference on Sunday. They trailed the Ravens by a touchdown, and the Patriots were seconds away from wrapping up a victory in Miami. A couple of minutes later, Mahomes, that ridiculous pass, they go score a touchdown, they beat the Ravens, and the miracle in Miami happened, and all of a sudden Kansas City is running away with that one seed now. Kansas City at 2. Rams, down a couple of spots to number 3 on my list. If there's a reason to worry about the Rams, this is it. The Rams are a combined 3-2 against the teams that will be in the NFC playoffs most likely. 3-2 against the Saints, Bears, Vikings, and Seahawks. And those losses to New Orleans and Chicago, especially troubling here, considering those could be the two teams in their path to the Super Bowl. Chicago's up to number 4 at 9-4. They would love to have that Giants game back from a couple of weeks ago. That was an unexpected loss that just crippled their chances to grab a top 2 seed in a possible home game in the divisional round against the Saints or the Rams. Still, they're going to be comfortable favorites in that opening round against whoever they play in the NFL. See if they get by that wild card opponent. Los Angeles Chargers at number 5. Chargers continue hot on the heels of the Chiefs out in the AFC West, but the math doesn't work out in their favor here. Get this. Even if the Chargers somehow upset the Chiefs here this week on a short week on Thursday in Arrowhead, well, Kansas City would still have the tiebreaker because of their in-division record. Chiefs are 4-0 right now against the AFC West opponents. Chargers 2-2. Yeah, Chargers have very little shot of jumping over the Chiefs here in the AFC West into the number 1 overall seed. Number 6 in my Power 12, the New England Patriots. Most common reaction here the past couple of days to that meltdown in Miami, the miracle in Miami. Most people are shrugging it off as an aberration. But the fact remains, the Patriots have been wildly inconsistent throughout the season. They've been beaten by the Jags and Lions. Those two teams have a combined 9-17 record. They also got blown out by Tennessee last month. In fact, all 4 of the Patriots' losses are on the road. They're just 3-4 away from Foxborough. New England is in serious, serious trouble in the playoffs. I'll tell you right now, if they don't get a first-round bye and at least a home game, one of them, in the playoffs. This is my Power 12 rankings. On to number 7, the Seattle Seahawks up from number 10. They're 8-5, and the Seahawks are turning into one of the more remarkable stories in the NFL. Most had left them for dead in the preseason and certainly after their 0-2 start. ESPN analyst and former NFL quarterback Brock Huard, I think he summed it up perfectly with this tweet. I'm just going to quote him here. This is from Brock Huard. Quote, "Hey NFL, just so you know, Pete Carroll and his crew know how to coach and develop. While the past defensive stars and Pro Bowlers thought it was all about them and wanted all the money and credit, the secret sauce is Pete's program and culture," end quote. No doubt about it. This is Pete's team, his program, his culture. And all of a sudden, the Seahawks, once again, a threat in the NFC. A little remarkable there. Number 8, a spot behind the Seahawks, the Dallas Cowboys. And the reason I have them a spot behind the Hawks is because the Hawks beat Dallas in Dallas earlier this year. Now, here's the thing. Dallas effectively wrapped up the NFC East with their win over the Eagles this past week. So unless they get swept in their final 3 games, which includes games against the Bucks and Giants, Dallas is going to be hosting a playoff game for the 3rd time in the past 5 seasons, likely against those Seahawks in a rematch. Number 9, the Texans. Stat of the year here. If you follow me on Twitter, at Seth Dunlap, you'll know this already, but this is the stat of the year. Heck, it might be the stat of the century here in the NFL. With the Eagles' loss last week to the Cowboys, and the Eagles host the Texans next week, that guarantees that the Texans will go the entire 2018 NFL regular season without playing anybody over 500, anybody with a winning record. 16 games, 16 opponents who are at or below 500 when they played. That is incredible. We don't think it's happened before in the modern era of the NFL during 16-game schedules. Number 10, the Steelers. Watch out here. They've dropped 3 in a row now after their 6-game winning streak. There's no more Jekyll and Hyde team in the NFL. This loss to Oakland was just a disaster. I don't want any excuses here. If you're a contender, you cannot lose to one of the worst teams in the NFL in crunch time in December in a playoff race. Steelers hanging on by a thread in the AFC North. The Vikings at number 11. The country has spent 24 hours freaking out about the Vikings' consecutive losses. You know where those were at? Those were in New England and in Seattle, maybe the 2 toughest places to play on the planet in a football game. Apparently, the Vikings are one of those people freaking out here because they just fired their offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, with 3 weeks left in the regular season. They're in panic mode here, half game up on everybody else for the final spot into the playoffs. And finally, the Colts at number 12. Here's the thing. I've run multiple scenarios and projections for how things are going to play out in the AFC over the final 3 weeks. Most of those projections end with a de facto playoff play-in game between the Colts and the Titans in Week 17. Whoever wins that game, Week 17, Colts-Titans, probably going to snag the conference's final spot into the playoffs. And here's the thing. I trust Andrew Luck more than I trust right now Marcus Mariota in that spot. Those are my Power 12 rankings. You can find them on WWL.com, radio.com app. We're breaking back with Nate Davis of USA Today Sports here on The Last Lap. I love this time of the year in the National Football League. Playoff races always get wild. That's why they call it the wild card playoff races. You got 4 teams tied for the final spot in the AFC. You got the Vikings half game ahead of 3 other teams in the NFC and 1 game ahead of the Packers, who somehow aren't completely out of this thing yet. That's pretty amazing to me. As we told you, Nate Davis of USA Today Sports coming on in to talk to us about it. Nate, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good, Seth. How you doing?
I'm good. Help me sort this out. Let's start in the NFC first, since we're here in New Orleans. Let's talk about these wild card races first. You got the Vikings. I cannot believe a team that right now is in the playoffs has just fired their offensive coordinator with that half-game lead on those other three teams I just mentioned. What do you make of this, Nate?
Well, I mean, obviously they wanted to shake it up, and they did not look like a playoff team last night. You know, an offense that can't stay on the field, a defense that can't get off of it, and clearly, you know, Mike Zimmer's looking for some more complimentary offense there, and we'll see what happens. You know, but I mean, I think if this team's going to do anything, maybe this is the move that helps them, but. What a disappointment they've been overall this year.
So can I make the argument, though, that I could take maybe 30 teams? Heck, maybe I could take every team in the NFL. And if I make them go play at New England and at Seattle in back-to-back weeks, that they're going to come out of that 0-2. And then should everybody be firing their offensive coordinator after those two games? I mean, it seems a little crazy to me, Nate.
Yeah, you know, I think Mike Zimmer just wants – more of a running game, and I mean, I don't really. The thing to me is like, why you would have known that? I think this is the way John DeFilippo was going to call games in the first place, and you did pay, you know, $84 million for a quarterback, and you've got a solid tight end and two Pro Bowl caliber receivers. But I think probably Mike Zimmer also knows that they're not probably going to get anywhere in January if they can't balance the offense, run the ball a little bit, and. You know, maybe some of this is personnel issues. You know, I don't think Dalvin Cook doesn't look like he's all the way back to me, but I'm not really sure why they're not playing Latavius Murray more either. So, you know, I think in some ways John DeFilippo is the ball guy for this whole thing, but it just doesn't seem like this team is balanced the right way right now. And, you know, Mike Zimmer's making a call.
Yeah, I could be doing a whole hour on that subject if I was doing national radio. I think it's fascinating. So if it's not the Vikings here, it sounds like you're kind of bearish on the Vikes here to make the playoffs. Who is it? Is it Philly still? I know they got that game against the Rams this week. Is it Carolina? Is it Green Bay coming back now with Joe Philbin as their head coach?
I mean, I'm bearish on the Vikings, but I mean, nobody in the end. I mean, here's the thing with the NFC is the whole bracket to me is pretty top heavy. I mean, that game last night didn't look like a game between two playoff teams to me, even though it probably is a game that had two playoff teams in it. But, you know, all the we started the weekend with three teams in the NFC, 6-6, with a shot to make that wild card. And we ended the week with all those teams 6-7. And so I'm not any higher on the Panthers, the Eagles, or certainly the Redskins to overtake the Vikings. And, you know, the Packers – yeah, you know, the Packers lost to a team they shouldn't have lost to 2 weeks ago, and they beat a team that they should beat in Atlanta. But I don't think that means that they're necessarily healthy. And, you know, given the way we see the Bears defense playing, I don't like the Packers to beat the Bears this week. So, you know, barring a miraculous turnaround by somebody that's hard to foresee right now, and it's going to take a bit of a collapse, too, by the Vikings, I think this NFC field to me looks like it's pretty locked in with the six teams, and it's just a matter of how the seeds fall at this point.
Yeah, so at the top, it's the Saints right now reclaiming that one spot after the Rams' poor showing, just getting beat down on Sunday night. Handicap the top of this for me. Who's the biggest challenger for the Saints? I kind of think it's the Bears and maybe even Dallas here. Would you still say the Rams, their biggest competition right now in the NFC?
I probably would, just because they can go toe-to-toe with them offensively, and if memory serves, Aqib Talib was not in that first game with the Saints and the Rams, and I think that changes the equation a bit. In fact, I'm pretty sure he was not in that game in the Superdome, so I think that makes the Rams defense a little bit better. You know, I have to go back and check my facts again too, but I don't think they had Dante Fowler quite for that game either. So I mean, I think that Rams defense is going to be a little bit different than what the Saints saw the first time. I think I would probably be more willing to kind of co-sign that the Bears could upset them if the game was going to be in Chicago. But it's not going to be. And, you know, I guess same thing with Dallas. You know, that was, to me, kind of a bit of an off night for the Saints. You know, you generally don't see Drew Brees play as poorly as he did that night. But since this thing looks like it's going to run through New Orleans right now, and even if it winds up being the Saints and the Rams in L.A., I'm pretty high on the Saints at this point. And given that I think, I don't think they're going to see a team like the Bears or the Cowboys on the road for the playoffs. I think they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I think so too. Nate, can you hold on through the 60-second break here and come back and talk AFC and MVP race with us?
Yeah, you bet.
All right, so hold on, Nate. Nate Davis, NFL writer and editor for USA Today Sports. He's on Twitter at @ByNateDavis. Just a reminder, tomorrow on Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert and Deuce McAllister, live from the Beau Rivage Resort and Casino, it'll be QB to QB with Drew Brees at 4:40 p.m. tomorrow. They're doing it early because of the Monday night game, so 4:40 p.m. Drew will be on here on the station. 60-second break, back with Nate Davis here, talking playoff race and also MVP race. All right, welcome back. We're talking with Nate Davis, NFL writer and editor for USA Today Sports, at @ByNateDavis. On Twitter, we just got done talking about the NFC playoff race. And Nate, let's go over to the AFC. And this is really wild here. You've got four teams tied at 7-6 for that last spot. There's still some whispers that, hey, could Cleveland run the table and get in at 8-7-1? I don't know about that. But how are you handicapping that at race for that final playoff spot, Nate?
Yeah, you know, I think the Titans to me look like the best bet right now, just because I think their schedule is the most inviting, and I think they also figured out at the right time that Derrick Henry's on their team after forgetting that for most of the season. So I kind of would give it to them, but then again, a week ago I thought it was going to be Denver, given how well they were playing, and that they also seemed to have a favorable schedule, but then they laid the egg in San Francisco. And obviously, the Emmanuel Sanders injury came at the worst possible time, but I think I would go with Tennessee right now. And but I also think that maybe two of these teams are in play, because I think the Steelers are in serious trouble with the Patriots and the Saints the next 2 weeks, and I think the Ravens have a real solid chance to jump up and take that AFC North berth, and that might open up More craziness down there at the bottom.
Yeah, that would be just crazy. And I was kind of looking at the playoff machines and stuff, and I was thinking, well, the one way that Cleveland's going to get in is if all of a sudden Pittsburgh falls apart and Cleveland wins out. They could win that division at 8-7-1. Who knows there? Baker mania, I suppose. At the top of that conference, I guess it is Kansas City that's kind of running away with that one seed. And I believe even if they lose to the Chargers this week because of the tiebreaker there in the AFC West, that they would still control their own destiny in the AFC West. So is it the Chiefs and then everybody else right now in the AFC?
I guess so. I mean, it seems to be, in terms of if we're talking about top seeds, the Chiefs certainly have the inside track on that. And then we're certainly helped by New England losing to the Dolphins last week, since the Patriots did have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Kansas City. But yeah, that being said, I've been kind of telling people to kind of pump the brakes a little bit on the Chiefs. I mean, number one being obviously the offense is not the same without Kareem Hunt, I don't think. But number two, everyone likes to just spout out and say, nobody wants to go play at Arrowhead in January. And I don't think anyone really thinks about that when they say it. And I have to remind them, the Chiefs have lost six consecutive games at Arrowhead in January.
Yep.
They have not won there since Joe Montana was their quarterback. So that tells you something. And obviously that's a lot of teams, a lot of different players, a lot of different coaches. But you are also talking about a young quarterback who's going to be playing, starting his first playoff game. Things sometimes don't go the way you expect them under those circumstances. But let's even if the Chiefs get that top seed, let's not pencil them in for a Super Bowl trip.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Nate. I've been telling people here they're kind of the anti-Seattle in the playoffs. Seattle hasn't lost a home playoff game in 15 years, and Kansas City hasn't won one in 25 years. So it's really, really weird. MVP race, since we're talking about Kansas City there, I have moved here to the ire of probably most people listening. I've moved Patrick Mahomes ahead of Drew Brees. I still don't think it's over. I still think that if the Saints lock down the one seed and the Chiefs have some stumbles here, that Drew could win that award. Are you with me there? Do you think Aaron Donald has any chance for this?
Yeah, I think what I've learned, Seth, is you and I generally seem to be in lockstep on these matters. It would be fun if Aaron Donald, could, if he gets the sack record, particularly after going, I want to say he was sackless his first three games, but he's now still on that pace for around the 22 range. If he broke Strahan's record, I think that would probably help him get consideration, but I still think he's, he's your dark horse. But yeah, in terms of making it Mahomes versus Breeze, I tend to agree with you. You know, I would love for Breeze to win it just because, you know, it's amazing to me, given all he's accomplished over the years, that he's never won league MVP honors. He, of course, has the Super Bowl MVP, but I'd love to see him get it. But I think you know, he's kind of played his two worst games of the season the last 2 weeks here. Everyone kind of saw the poor performance in Dallas on the national stage. And then I think Mahomes, you know, as much as it hurts the Chiefs to lose to Kareem Hunt, I think that's going to maybe wind up helping him in terms of MVP if you know, he's able to kind of hold that offense together down the stretch. And you know, there's even more, really more burden on his right shoulder now. That could wind up helping him from an individual standpoint. And obviously, he's certainly going to have the numbers at the end.
I've got to ask you one more thing, because this is our crack research team of, well, me, before the show. I just got to ask, have you ever heard anything like this? And feel free to use this wherever you want, Nate. The Houston Texans, now that Philadelphia's lost, they're going to play Philadelphia next week. They're guaranteed to go the entire 2018 regular season, 16 teams, 16 weeks, well, 17 weeks. And they will never play a team with a winning record when they play them. 16 times they played, and every time it's been teams at or below 500. Have you ever heard anything like that before? I think it's one of the weird stats that I've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I certainly would defer to you on the research there, but that's it probably speaks to the fact too why it doesn't seem like anybody wants to take the Texans all that seriously as contenders, despite as well as they played and recovered from that start. But yeah, I mean, that is kind of what it gets down to. It doesn't really feel like they've played anybody, and you know, per your research, I guess they haven't.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if you ever heard anything like that before. I was thinking, well, maybe Nate's heard of something similar before, so I'd check with him on the program. Nate Davis, NFL writer and editor for USA Today Sports, really appreciate it, man. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, quickest. I think the most similar thing I've heard, I think the Miami Dolphins 72 had played like 1-8-6 team, and the rest of them were terrible. So there's your counter.
Hey, so there you go. The Texans got a shot here. That's what you're saying. The Texans
could
have a shot.
Got a shot.
All right. All right, Nate. Thanks you so much. Let's squeeze in one quick call here. Greg in Mississippi. What's going on, Greg?
Again, Seth, enjoy your show, but I got to disagree with you. I think the Chiefs have to be ahead of the Saints as far as the number one in the power rankings.
Okay. All right. Tell me why.
Only two losses by three would each to the Rams and Patriots. I know the Saints, if they get Carolina 6-1 road record or 7-1 is nothing to sneeze at. But I think if you look at the overall, I think the Chiefs have been a little bit more consistent. That Dallas loss and even an underwhelming win over Tampa Bay, I wouldn't see that. Okay, you want to pass the Rams, okay. And the Rams had their one really bad clunker. I mean, they lost to the Saints, but what, it was 10 points on the road. Mm-hmm. I get that, but I think the Chiefs a little bit better and played a little bit better schedule. If they beat the Chargers, they would have swept probably. You could argue the second number one team in the AFC. And they've done, you know, other than the Patriots, is a game that they probably should have won. And I agree with you, Mahomes over Breeze for MVP, because I think he's been a little bit more consistent than Breeze has. Just slightly disagree with you.
Yeah, no,
the facts. I enjoy your show, man. Appreciate
all right, no, you. Thanks, Greg. And I'll tell you this: if somebody has the Chiefs at one and the Saints two, I'm not going to really pick at you or disagree with you too much. I think you can kind of flip flop those teams up at the top of your power rankings list. Thanks for the call. We're coming back. We're talking some Pelicans with Ollie Cosell of the Bird Rights, and boy, this will be a sobering conversation. Coming back with that, I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap on WWL. All right, welcome back to the show. Time to get a little sober here as we talk a little Pelicans, because, boy, that conversation hasn't been fun over the last few weeks. Ollie Cosell of the Bird Rights coming on in to chat with me. Ollie, what's going on tonight? How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, Seth. Sober is the perfect word. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though. If you go back to last year, the Pelicans' record after 29 games was 15-14. The Pelicans' record after 29 games this year is 14-15. People were freaking out last year. People are freaking out this year. Ollie, I tell them the NBA season really doesn't really start until after the trade deadline, but should people be freaking out still?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. 82 games, you got to get used to it. It's a long grind. Unless you're playing in some kind of unusual season where you've got a bunch of front runners, and we've seen it before. Or, you know, the West once, I think it boiled down to, was about 6-7 years ago. 48-win team missed out. That was the Phoenix Suns. But, you know, we're not involved in anything that we've seen. The Golden State Warriors, they've gone off to an 18-9 start. You know, nobody's running away with it. Everybody's in it outside of Phoenix Suns. So, yeah, there's plenty of time for the guys to get back together. You've got Del Demps. He's probably going to have to make a move or two. But you know what? Still plenty of games ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of what I see. And getting Elfrid healthy and back, I think, is key, regardless of any deadline deals that they make. Let's talk about AD here. I think we talked about this last time you were on the program, that everybody seems to kind of be on board that, hey, AD's leadership skills in the locker room behind the scenes here, a little bit lacking on that front. And I think even he tweeted out something today to the effect of, hey, I've got to be a better leader off the court. Do you agree there?
Yeah, you absolutely have to, because if the guys are coming out with bad energy, which they have in certain games, not closing out games, which they have, if he's not getting a rebound sometimes for an entire half, or the defense isn't there, especially at the rim, you know, you can check all these boxes, right? And Anthony Davis should be right there handling a lot of this business, yet he hasn't. So he's always had this issue, Steph, though. You know, he's not a natural-born leader, not a type A personality. We all know that. We've seen him enough. But again, you always hope for more steps. And so far this season, he came in with that big talk, but he hasn't really backed it up. So it's great for him to say it, but let's see him actually put his money or his mouth where his money is. So let's hear him back it up, because, you know, he put up a big line and everybody talked about the points, but you know, it just felt empty, you know, against the Boston Celtics. It never looked like they were going to come back, win that game. He never seemed to inspire his other teammates. I mean, he had a great performance alone, but did he get anybody else going? Not really.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, the guy who is having a great year is Jrue Holiday. He had a dreadful first week of the season. And, in fact, he's still only shooting 30% from behind the arc, which would be his worst mark of his entire career. But he's averaging a career-high 20.5 points. He's averaging a career-high 8.8 assists. He's grabbing 5 rebounds a game. I mean, this dude is straight balling out. And I think he's one of the 5-6 best guards in the NBA. Forget two-way guards. I think he's one of the best guards in the NBA now.
Hands down. I've been one of his biggest, staunchest supporters just because I saw, you know, that ability in him. He kind of felt like all he needed was a chance to get comfortable, get past the injuries. And sure enough, he's really performed well. That stretch last season. I think Rondo kind of probably put him at some kind of ease, especially playing off the ball. So this year he's had kind of issues with that. Obviously, Elfrid's only played about 5 games. So Drew's been asked to do so much more than what he already does. I mean, let's face it, you got to guard the best player in the guy. You got to put up 20 points. You've already mentioned some of the other stats. And then you have to initiate the offense. I think it's gotten a little bit to him this year. But again, Gentry's recognized that. They put Tim Frazier in there, and slowly he's had some better games again. I mean, how about that 37-point performance against the Pistons?
Yeah, you know, he was absolutely fantastic. Might have been the best game he's played here in the NBA, certainly in a Pelicans uniform. Now, what happened against Boston, man? They were resting everybody, and the Pelicans just laid an egg on Monday.
Well, you know, they came out dreadful. They didn't match that intensity. You saw it in the first few minutes, and then Boston kept it up. You know, they kept it floored. I mean, I should take that back. The Pelicans started off in the field actually pretty well. I remember being 15-14. But after that moment, after that initial push to start the game, they kind of just put it back in the, you know, second gear, got stuck, I should say, in second gear, and the Boston Celtics just lurched ahead. I mean, Jason Tatum, you know, he's just in his second year. He looked great out there. And then Marcus Morris looked like an all-NBA player. The Pelicans didn't play defensively, Seth. They didn't stop the ball on the initial drives, something Gentry pointed out to. But then there's no weak side defense. And then the rebounding. How can you let one of the worst rebounding teams against one of the best rebounding teams just have their way inside the paint? You know, there's a lot of unacceptable things. And we've already touched on the offense. It was just basically an Anthony Davis show. So a lot of issues, a lot of problems. And it's just disheartening. When we have to talk about what goes wrong, and it seems like every other game now, it's something else. So it's a problem. The team is not firing at all cylinders. My biggest hope going forward is that they've got to play a lot better, and they've got 3 games in the next 10 games. Let's hope the coaching staff can get these guys on the same page with a lot more practices. And then the guys that are banged up, get some rest.
So it's a couple of months away from the trade deadline. That's February 7th. Are we just kind of expecting, hey, Pelicans tread water, stay around 500 at that point, and then make a move and see what happens? And is there anything, any stretches in the schedule that you kind of circle that, hey, Pelicans can make some moves here, string some wins together?
Well, we did that earlier. We did that with a lot of games in November where we thought that was going to be one of the easier stretches. but you know that they played 500 ball, and that's just not going to get it done. So, Seth, at this point, I think the way the front office is going to move forward, obviously, is can they get their guys back healthy? It's going to be the biggest key is going to be getting back Elfrid Payton. If not, I mean, they've got Andrew Harrison right now as a two-way contract, but he's basically that emergency backup. If there's any more issues going forward with this team, I think Del Demps is going to have to push a button. He can't wait any longer. I mean, they're teetering right now. You go through a couple bad stretches, a couple bad weeks on top of that 14-15 record, you're suddenly looking way outside of that picture on making the playoffs. You're going to have to jump a lot of teams, and I know they know how hard it was last season. You can't count on finishing on a 28th run to make the playoffs in the last week. So they're not going to be circling anything. They're just going to watch how their team's going. And they've got to stay right there around, you know, that 8th, 9th seed. If they do that, they'll be fine. Del Demps will be able to take his time, peruse all the offers out there, get who he needs. But otherwise, he'll be forced to maybe, you know, push almost like a panic button trigger and move on somebody earlier if they need somebody.
Well, we'll see what happens there, and we'll leave it there. Ollie Cosell of the Bird Rights, you can find his work there. Ollie, appreciate the time again, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Seth.
All right, we'll take a break, wrap it up the hour next here on The Last Lap. Got a text at 870-870 from the 985. If the Bears and Saints tie at 12-4, 11-5, well, first of all, let me stop the text there. If you're saying the Bears and Saints are going to tie at 11-5, you think the Saints are going to lose their final three games of the year, forget about it then. If the Saints go into that free fall, I don't care where they're seated in the NFC, it's probably all over. But just to answer your question here, if the Bears and Saints do tie, here's just the tiebreaker order. First tiebreaker is conference record. If they're still tied in conference record, well, first tiebreaker would be head-to-head. They don't play. Second tiebreaker is conference record. If they have the same conference record, you go to games between common opponents, and then it's all sorts of stuff. So there are your tiebreakers. And it's a pretty big hypothetical. Who do the Saints lose to? Who do the Bears lose to over the final 3 weeks? And you got to go through all that mess. So the easiest way to do it is just Google NFL playoff prediction machine, and you can find out. I can't name the site where it is because they're a competitor of ours, but it will tell you to go there, and you can kind of figure it all out. Pretty cool little tool. Here's another text from the 985. You're normally pretty on with your calls, but if we play the Cowboys again, we'd beat them into the ground. Maybe. I mean, I think the Saints in that game would be here in New Orleans in the Superdome in all likelihood, probably in the divisional round. I think the Saints would be a good 10-point favorite in that game. Somewhere around that, somewhere between 7 and 10-point favorite. I have to ask Ralph Michaels, our contact out in Vegas, about that. I think the Saints are going to be pretty heavy favorites against anybody who they play here in the Superdome. Even if it's the Rams, I think they're going to be about a 7-point favorite against the Rams. I think the Rams, they're kind of getting exposed now. I don't just want to be a parrot to all of the national talkers out there who are talking about this over the last 2 days, that defenses are starting to figure out, don't bite on the play action, just stay with the receivers, give Gurley his yards, and you can figure out this Rams offense. But they're kind of right. They're kind of right. One more hour to go here.